Okay, today we're going to talk a little about Mac OS. I should say the new Mac OS. I think it was called Mac OS at one time, and then it's called Mac OS 10, and now then OS 10, and now it's Mac OS, kind of again. And we're waiting for Sarah Reichelt, who has downloaded it and got it on her machine, and we'll see what she has to say today. She's not here yet. No. Ah, there you are. Sarah.
Good morning, Jerry.
You made it. Beginning to despair.
Oh, well, I was signed in as the wrong Twitter account, so I had to choose a different account, and then I got in.
Ah, good, good. Well, it's our first time with this app. It's bound to be a few rough spots and what have you. I wanted to let you know, as regards Mac OS, the new Mac OS, I have read extensively about it. I have not installed it, so I thought it might be kind of interesting. I would be able to ask you lots of questions about it, since you have installed it, I believe.
I installed it on my Wednesday morning, which here in Australia was when it was first released. And I have found it to be really good. It's, as with, you know, all iOS operating systems lately, it's an evolution, not a revolution. And there are, so there's nothing there you're going to look at and say, whoa, how do I work this? Because it's pretty much just the same. But
right.
But there are some very nice things. It does feel slightly snappier.
Oh, really?
It does, yes. Although I didn't do a clean and install of my Mac, so I don't have the new file system. I'm not quite sure if that's ready for prime time yet or what. But I did check my file system, and it still is the old HFS.
Well, doesn't it have something that will get rid of cruft, stuff you don't need in there?
Oh, it does, yes. If you go to the old About My Mac, About This Mac, available in the Apple menu.
Right, right.
And you go to the storage section, it displays your Mac's, your hard drive usage. And if you go to Manage, there are various options to clean up stuff, remove applications, remove old files, optimize mail storage. And one which I particularly like is to empty items from the trash when they've been there for more than 30 days.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
I like that one because it doesn't, you tend to put things in the trash and then occasionally you need to haul them out again. And if you do an empty trash, everything old and new is gone. But this option keeps only the new stuff in your trash. So I like that.
Oh, well, that's very helpful. I'm still trying to figure out why it's faster. Maybe just, it's more efficient.
Could be. I think launching apps and, Finder, I think, feels a bit faster.
Yeah, there's been some major rewrite on the Finder, as I recall.
Now, one option with the storage optimization, which I have not implemented, is the ability to store all your files from your documents and your desktop folders in iCloud.
Right.
Now, I haven't used this for two reasons. One is I don't pay for extra iCloud storage because I've never needed it.
Right.
But the main one is that with the style of internet that's common here in Australia, ADSL uploads are really slow, and they cripple your internet completely while they're happening. So if I turn this on to upload all my documents folder to iCloud, we would have no internet for weeks.
Well, I assume that the way it actually operates would be kind of the way all the other stuff that Apple does in the background or what have you. They have excellent sensors so they can tell, what else is going on in the machine. Does another app or another machine need the internet, and then it just sips. It doesn't gulp.
Well, that may be the case for this one, but for the Photos app, that is definitely not the case. If you turn on iCloud photo library, it will try to upload your thousands of photos as fast as it can, giving no slack to any other operating processes.
Wow. Well, that's rather unforgiving. Huh.
Yes. There is a developer utility called Network Link Conditioner, which is designed to allow you to simulate bad network connectivity to test how it works in your app. And that is the commonly used way to make photos act like a decent citizen. You turn on Network Link Conditioner and you tell it not to upload at more than a certain number of kilobytes per second.
Oh, I see. Very interesting. I was unaware of that. Huh.
Yeah, well, that's a stupid way to have to do it. As you said, things like apps like Dropbox and other file sharing apps, they are responsible and they throttle their internet usage, their network usage to match. But Apple doesn't seem to care about that.
Well, I think in this instance they don't care, but I know there's other instances where they do seem to. I know on my iOS devices, when I'm updating an app or something, and I go back to another app, it does give leeway to the app I've gone to if it needs internet access. It doesn't slow it down.
Yeah, I think though in iOS it has much more of a concept of the frontmost app getting so much of the resources but with Mac, there's not
right.
so much emphasis on which is the frontmost app.
Okay, you're right about that. I'm so used to operating on iOS, I don't think as much about OS X, and when I do, sometimes I muddle them up and put them in the same basket, but they're not, obviously.
They're not the same. No, though they are merging, let's say. So
yeah.
the other big features on Mac OS Sierra, apart from the name change, which I like, Siri on the Mac.
What do you think of it?
Well, I think it's pretty cool. The first time I tried it, I was just using the internal microphone on my Mac, and that didn't really work very well. It would get half of my request, or maybe it would drop a chunk in the middle. Perhaps I was moving my head or something. But when I tried it with a headset on, it worked really well. And I like the way that you can do more intelligent file searches than are possible in the standard search.
Like Spotlight, yeah.
Yeah.
Or in the Finder.
I forgot the name.
Yeah, or the Finder does it too.
Yeah, and you can do sort of some sequential searches. So, you know, show me all documents from this week. Okay, only show me the Pages documents, and it'll filter it down.
Right, it knows context.
Yes.
Nice. Now, I heard one thing I did hear, and this was not with regard to Siri on macOS, but I think it was Siri in general, was that it would be pretty cool if there was a way you didn't have to talk to Siri, that you could type Siri. I thought that was an interesting observation, simply because sometimes it's not convenient to talk.
Yeah, I would agree with that, certainly on the Mac. It has better search facilities than Spotlight or Finder, so to be able to type those in would be very useful.
What kinds of things did you have it do?
I had it search for emails with attachments, emails from a particular person. I had it search for files that I'd worked on this week. Then I said, no, just show me the Swift files I'd worked on this week, that sort of thing.
And it did well and fast?
It did well, and it was very fast.
Wow. That's kind of cool. That's very nice.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of features which have not got the headlines, but I really like them.
Oh, let's hear it.
And the first The first is the menu bar. You know, you got icons and utilities up in the menu bar. And you always used to be able, there were always two categories of those. There were the Apple ones, which were like your volume, your airport, that sort of thing. And then there were the third-party ones. And they operated slightly differently. The Apple ones you could reorder in the menu bar by, was it command dragging them or option dragging them? I forget which now. But the third-party ones you couldn't reorder. They just popped up in whatever order they'd launched in. But now you can actually reorder your entire menu bar, which I really like.
Oh, really? And you do it with the modifier key drag?
Yes, it's command drag.
Wow. Well, I haven't heard about that at all.
And while we're on the subject of the menu bar, you know how in the volume menu bar control, if you held down option, you could control your device. You could select your input device and output device.
Right.
But you had to hold an option to do it. Well, now the volume menu bar shows your list of output devices just by default. So you can immediately switch without any modifier.
Oh, okay. And it still has a slider on it?
It has a slider going from left to right instead of up and down. And then it has a menu below it.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense.
If you want to adjust the input device, you still have to hold down option. But the output device is just there for standard.
Huh. I'll be darned. Well, that's kind of a neat thing. And like I said, these are two things I've never heard of in any of the any podcasts or any of the articles or recourse. You know, there's like hundreds of features in the new release.
Oh, definitely. And here's another one that I only learned of from the developer side of things, which is that Windows can now snap.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How does it snap?
It's quite neat. Supposing you've got two Finder windows open, right? Mm-hmm. And you drag one so that it's butting up against the side of the next one. There's a kind of little resistance to the drag. For a few pixels, it doesn't move when it's reached that side-by-side or top-to-bottom point.
Right.
So it's not a jerky drag, but it works quite naturally.
Wow. Yeah.
And the same with making them the same width or the same height or whatever.
It's got a different kind of animation there, is what you're saying, I guess, or a feel.
It's a different feel. It just kind of stops the movement of the as you're repositioning or resizing the window. It just stops it for a fraction of a second, letting you pick that point with more accuracy.
Well, that sounds great. What else?
Yeah, it's a minor feature, but it's one of these nice things that makes it all.
Yeah, it's the little touches that's the stuff Apple's kind of famous for.
Okay, now here's an interesting one, which is the Mail app. Now, I have been dissatisfied with the Mail app now for 4-5 years or so. As you know, and I feel as complaining about it. And every year with the new operating system, I make an attempt to go back to Mail, and it usually lasts about 3 or 4 days, and I say, nope, and I go back to the third-party app. And so far, I've been using Mail now since Wednesday, it's now Saturday, and I'm liking it.
Why?
Well, a couple of reasons. Firstly, it doesn't keep losing connection with my servers, which was always the problem with the previous Mail, and once you'd lost connection, there seemed to be no way of getting it back except by quitting the Mail app and starting again.
Right.
Secondly, it's a nice feel. It's a nice look. I like the way it's better now, I think, at organizing conversations.
The threads are better.
The threads are better. And you know, I'm just looking at a conversation now that it has two emails, but the first one, which I send, has a little header that says found in sent mailbox, and even though I'm looking at my inbox. So it's giving me more of a unified box, which is what I really like, having a unified display of my current messages.
Oh, that sounds nice.
So far, mail has got a pass this year. We'll see how long that lasts.
You like it better than Spark.
Well, Spark isn't for the Mac. I still like Spark
on my iOS devices. Oh, that's right. You know, I just saw, I'm trying to remember the name of the mail app. I can't remember the name of it now. It behaves like a messaging app. With bubbles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and it makes everything much more conversational. It eliminates all the little odds and ends that you usually see hanging around emails and just makes it very streamlined. It makes it feel like you're using a chat or a messaging app. I was just wondering, I'd be interested to try that. Yeah, I was curious when you talked about the threads and conversations. I wondered, you know, how conversational they made it, where they went as far as to, you know, make it like a messaging app. But it sounds like it's just more or less, like you said, an evolution of the current mail app.
Yeah, I think so. And it's nothing, the display is not, you know, hugely different. Messages, the Mac OS Messages now has the larger emoji display like iOS 10. You know, if you send nothing but an emoji in a message, it makes it big.
Yeah, blows it up.
Which makes it much easier to see what people actually mean.
Right.
It doesn't seem to support the iOS 10 special effects. You know, the way you can send a message
confetti.
With fireworks and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
But, I don't think it doesn't appear to support the ability to, you know, to react to a message, like or whatever.
Huh. Well, that's kind of odd.
It is kind of odd, but it's showing. I'm just looking at it now on my Mac, and it's showing the likes that people sent from iOS. I can see them. I just can't do them.
Right. Gotcha.
Oh, hang on. No, I just found out how to do them. You just got to double click. You got to double click on the double click on a message, and you get the option to do that reaction, the heart or thumbs up or whatever.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And on iOS 10, there's a bunch of stuff you can do with a message. You long tap on a message and you get options like that as well. You can do things to it.
Yes.
Right. Cool. All right. Well, that sounds interesting. Now, you know, since you don't have an extended iCloud account and you have the default one, my understanding is there's a whole lot of stuff with files that you can do. You can kind of virtualize your files. And if they haven't been used in a bit then, or a while, then they're put onto iCloud and they free up space on your storage.
I think that is the case, yeah. And I'm assuming that that's not being offered to me. And my hard drive is not anywhere near full. It's about a third full. So it may be not offering it to me because it's not necessary.
Right. My understanding was that it's only a feature available if you got more than the minimum iCloud.
Well, that makes sense because it's only for really large files, and I've only got 5 GB storage on the default iCloud account, so a single large file could easily fill that up.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I'm pretty keen on because I have a relatively old MacBook Air, and it's SSD, but it doesn't have, you know, like they do today, you know, half a terabyte or whatever. It doesn't have that. I think it's 128 or something, and I have so many pictures of my grandson Ian and so many movie clips and stuff like that things fill up quickly. So and a lot of code and a lot of apps. So I'm thinking, well, you know, this might be a way to solve some of my storage problems. So I do have extra storage on iCloud, so I think I might download it just for that reason alone, but I did want to wait and see how you fared and then I was thinking of maybe even waiting for the inevitable point release or point release.
Yep.
We know it's coming.
Well, I left in immediately because Tim had been running the beta now for some months, and it had been really stable for, you know, the last two or three versions.
Now, does he do any of this exotic iCloud file stuff?
I don't think so. He does have more iCloud storage than the basic because he stores all his photos on iCloud. But I don't think he'd done any of this file stuff.
I think part of it is it will happen automatically if you allow it. And I think other things you can actually do more intentionally. So I'll find out. And perhaps next time we do a podcast, I'll report on that, since it sounds like you're probably not going to do that.
Probably not. I'll leave that one to you. And it may only come into effect if you do this business of letting it upload your desktop and documents folders.
Ah. Well, tell me, what else did you find interesting about it?
About the whole Mac OS?
Yeah.
Well, there's not an awful lot else to report, really. There's things that I don't use, like Apple Pay in Safari. Well, our bank doesn't do Apple Pay, so that's
right.
No use to me. There's picture-in-picture, like in iOS, you know, whereas if you're watching a movie but want to keep pretending to work, you can have the movie playing in the corner. I don't tend to do that either. So what else? We've got the system font is the San Francisco system font that we got last year.
Right. Is there much visual difference that I would notice as an El Capitan user coming over?
I don't think so. No, I think if you were pre-El Capitan, you would notice because you'd have the new system font. But I think coming from El Capitan, the only thing you're really going to notice visually is the Siri icon in your dock and menu bar.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I do like El Capitan's aesthetic. I like its color scheme. I like the way they've handled the bars and the buttons and all that stuff. I think it looks really good, so I'm not disappointed by that. I'm just, you know, curious.
Yep.
And also, I'm sure I'll enjoy Mail because, like you, I use the Mail app on Mac OS. Or you weren't. What were you using? Gmail?
On my Mac, I was using an app called Unibox.
Oh, that's right.
Which was quite good, but it had its features that drove me crazy. But the whole unified inbox thing really works well for me.
Now, when you say unified inbox, does that mean like you have multiple accounts and it just makes it one unified inbox?
Yes, and that it shows everything in there. It shows sent and as well as received.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, yeah, that would be nice. That'd be super.
Oh, I nearly forgot one really cool feature of Mac OS, which I use a lot, but it only works for modern Macs, is the unlock with Apple Watch.
Oh, yes. Now, what's that like?
Well, I walk up to my Mac, and it just unlocks, and then it says, I get a little notification saying unlocked with Apple Watch, and my watch goes ping, and there I'm in, no having to enter my password.
Oh, that must be nice.
Yeah, and because I use iCloud Keychain, I do what they recommend, which is to have it lock down the Mac pretty quickly once I leave it.
As do I, yes. Same reason.
Yeah, so it's really good to have the unlock happen automatically.
Yeah, that does sound nice. I'm getting more and more reasons for Apple Watch as time goes on. I've heard it, the new OS is incredible, the new Watch OS.
Yeah, that's like I only have Apple Watch Series 1, but it's like having a new watch.
Yeah, it's more streamlined, better workflow, snappy. Everything's better.
Much more snappy. The other thing I have to tell you is that you are talking to an iPhone 7.
Oh, Isn't that something? You got it, did you?
Yep. But I think that needs a whole new podcast of its own. So maybe next week we talk about the iPhone.
Okay, some foreshadowing. Thank you, Sarah Reichelt from Queensland, Australia, near Brisbane, somewhere over there. And this is Jerry Daniels from Austin, Texas. And we talked about macOS. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.